This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And welcome to it. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
And now we have our phone lines open, as you just heard, as always, to The Gardening Show. 814-368-9372. We're at Facebook Live, facebook.com/WESB1075. And we have our email, garden@WESB.com. And we'll get to a couple that were that came in, I guess, at the end of the show last week.
Yeah.
That some questions that we couldn't get to. So we'll get to those in just a little bit. In the meantime, good morning, Bob. What do you have in store for us today?
Well, I guess you probably can see... But I have a nice big shrub right beside me. I've been talking about the flowering plants, but this one here is one of the workhorses of the garden. Very, very popular. And it's an arborvitae or white cedar, or you can call it botanically thuja. So it's a great evergreen shrub. Can grow to 15 foot tall, this one here. This one here is called Emerald Green. There are other varieties, too. There's even little dwarf varieties, some that just come in a ball shape.
Yeah, put that over so we can see okay. That a little bit better, because that's a little out of the camera frame there.
Is it in now?
Yeah.
Okay. It's a big shrub here.
Hey, so, you brought it in.
Yeah. First,
I could probably put it on the floor right next to you over here.
Okay.
And show up on. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. But, yeah, that's a nice, cause I have those.
Yes, you do.
And I didn't kill it. So, so that tells you right there that, if you don't exactly have a green thumb.
Yeah. They're one of the real easy plants. And they will live forever, really. I think about up at Oak Hill Cemetery, many cemeteries, they've planted arborvitaes, not the emerald green, because that's fairly new variety. There we go. But arborvitaes or white cedar, matter of fact, the red cedar would be juniper. This is white cedar. Planted a lot of them. Holy mackerel, you know there's a wasp on that?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. a great plant. A lot of people like to use them as a windbreak or a divider. Very useful in that respect. You can trim them any way you want. A lot of people don't like them to... Okay. We got a little action going on here.
He flew on the window. I'm going to smash him. I think I got him. See, our trusty WESB fly swatter always comes in handy.
I'm surprised they didn't get stung hands on them, which reminds me, you know, be real careful out there this time of year. The wasps, the hornets, the yellow jackets, the bees, they all get a little defensive this time of year. They're trying to prepare for winter, and so that sometimes they'll sting without notice. So what I always like to do is before I trim a shrub or work in the garden is just take a look around and see if you see anything flying around. Try to identify it before you go reaching your hand in there, because every year I get stung, you know, not following my own rules. But,
do as I say, not as I do.
But most of the time, I do check around first. So arborvitae, white cedar, thuja, whatever you want to call it. Most people call it the arborvitae.
I call them bushes.
Bushes, okay. Great windbreak, great screen. They can grow up to 15 foot tall, the emerald green one. There is an American arborvitae. They can grow 20, 30, 40 feet even. So it's a great evergreen shrub. So you have something there all the time and very, very useful as a workhorse in the garden, as a windbreaker or a sight screen.
Mm-hmm. That's what I use for my neighbors because we have dogs and they bark at each other if they see these. It works great. They can't see each other now. They can hear each other and they'll get into a barking contest sometimes. But it really helped.
So, yeah,
yeah,
it
with
does.
The privacy screen and yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was really easy to do.
Yeah. They are. Indeed.
And they've grown so much every year. At least a foot.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
6 inches to a foot every year with depending on growing conditions. Yeah. They're a good grower. And they stay nice and green all winter long. They will get little brown spots certain times of year. All evergreens do. They don't hold their foliage forever. Some will hold it for 1 year, some up to 3 years. Then they have to shed it, but they're always growing new ones, so you really don't notice it. But you may see some brown in there. Not to be concerned. You know, it's not dying. As long as it's not too much. Mm-hmm. It's just shedding those old leaves. We call them leaves, even though they don't look like it. Some people think they're needles, but they are leaves. So it's going to shed a little bit every year. Drops to the ground, becomes a good mulch underneath the plant. So leave it in place. But if you do see a brown spot, mostly in one area where it's getting real brown in one area, do the white paper test first. It's probably going to be spider mites. They seem to really like the shrub, but they don't normally kill it. So put the white paper under there, beat on the foliage a bit. Look at the white paper. You'll see little dust particles moving around. Easy to eradicate first by just a good blast from your garden hose. That'll knock most of them down. They don't have enough energy to get back up into a good feeding spot. Next would be some chemicals, you know, some of the safer ones use. Make sure you don't spray on a windy day or too hot of a day. And make sure kids and pets are out of the way for a day or two. And you can safely get rid of the spider mites. They don't happen every year. You know, they're mostly, most of the insects really depend on environmental conditions. Some years you'll have a lot of this kind of insect. Some years not that one, but another one. So every year, you know, we have to learn about the different bugs and be aware of where they live on a shrub and what kind of damage it looks like so we can be prepared to take care of it. But again, most of the time, just a good blast from the garden hose will get rid of them.
My brother-in-law is having a real hard time with some smaller ones. It's like a miniature one of these. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like kind of thinner, but they are, he had like eight of them, lost three of them all the way. The other ones are like half dead, half brown.
Yeah. You know?
And we're trying to figure out what happened. Is it possible that like maybe, I'm thinking maybe a salt truck from the winter got on there.
If it's close
like
to the road, yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's got to be at least 15 feet in.
Yeah, that's not far enough.
Okay.
If the vehicles are traveling, you know, 40, 50 miles an hour, that salt spray can go quite a ways.
That's okay. So that's my, that was my first thought, but I guess it's true.
And
how do you prevent that? I guess just don't plant them that close to the street.
Yeah, that's the best way. Yeah. All evergreens are going to be like that. They just don't like salt.
And you can't like wrap them to protect them in the winter.
Well, you could. Yeah, you could. Maybe. But that's a big hassle and it just kind of takes away from the beauty. Your best bet is to just put them in an area where they're not going to get salt spray. You know, and you may look on the internet and they'll say, you know, if the road speed limit is 35, place them back 20 feet from the road. Well, nobody goes 35 anymore. So you're going to have to place them back further than that. So be considerate of the shrub and do give it a nice good distance from the street, especially if it is a street that people are going to go 40, 50 miles an hour.
Yeah, he's on the corner of one that, it's like a 45 mile an hour street.
So. Yeah. So that salt spray can travel quite a way, especially on a windy day.
So they were doomed at the beginning.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
That's nothing, you know, wrong with the shrub. It's just that you got to put the right shrub in the right location. That's something we always think about in landscaping. Always try to get the right location. This has a neat history. It's an American plant. There are varieties from other areas of the world because it grows all over the world. But the Native Americans considered it a very sacred plant. And even if they were freezing in the middle of winter, they would not chop down an arborvitae for a heat source. It was only used to get some of the foliage and to do a sacred ceremony with the smoke from the burning needles and so on. So they considered it very sacred. And we do too, you know. There's just hardly a cemetery around there that doesn't have an arborvitae in it. And most homes do too. And they'll grow forever. They have an extremely long lifespan, hundreds of years.
Oh, wow.
So a great shrub. What more can I say about it?
Well, you know, mine, I was told, I don't know if it's true or not, but you can maybe elaborate. If you want them wide or tall, you can control that by the way that you
trim it.
Trim?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah. They take the trimming very, very nicely. This one here, if I wanted to keep it at that height, I could continually trim that top. Just the outer sides would grow thicker and thicker. And vice versa, if I wanted to keep it thin, I can just keep continually trimming the sides a couple times a year. That's all you need to do with the trimming. Make sure you have good sharp trimmers. And you can keep it narrow if you want to and let it grow tall. Either way, just whatever suits your purpose there.
Yeah.
One thing, though, about them, a lot of people mistake, they bruise kind of easily. So I see a lot of landscapers, when they go to plant them, they'll just grab them, give them a bear hug or something like that to carry them. Those needles will get bruised and they'll turn brown. Of course, that's not going to kill the shrub. It's going to re-green up again. It's going to come back, but it can be a little unsightly for a while. So try not to grab them by their foliage and carry them around, or if you're moving them in any way, you know, try not to give them big bear hugs, because it will bruise the foliage and it turns brown.
Okay, great.
So just be aware of that.
And full sun shade, part shade?
All the above.
All of the above. It's a hardy tree.
Yep, and very versatile. Yep, tree, shrub.
I was going to say, some people call them trees, shrub. I call a bush. Is there a difference between a shrub and a bush?
Shrub and a bush. Not really. No,
okay.
No. There is between a tree and a shrub or a bush, but not a bush and a shrub.
So that's really not a tree. Just some people call it a tree.
Well, it is basically a tree, but this one's kind of a dwarf. You know, a tree, the definition of is usually has one trunk and can grow to over 15 foot tall. But this one being a dwarf is not going to, especially in Bradford, it's not going to. All plants grow a little bit slower in Bradford. So that's the definition. This really is basically a tree, but a dwarf tree.
Gotcha. Hey, if you have a question, either about the arborvitae or anything, give us a call, 814-368-9372. That's 368-WESB. And I see last week's questions Scott wrote in. How do you get rid of bugs in a spider plant dirt?
Ah, okay, good question. And that's probably going to be fungus gnats. And that's due to keeping the soil moist all the time. The fungus is going to start to grow. Fungus gnats are attracted to it. They feed on it, and they'll even breed in place. The easiest way to get rid of them is to mix up a little soapy water and water that into the plant. That soap soap film will get around the bug and smother them to death, and eventually you'll get rid of them. A lot of people like to put a little dish of vinegar or sugar water beside it, and a lot of those bugs will be attracted to that. They'll jump in and drown. So that's a couple different ways to get rid of those bugs in the soil.
What's the best soapy water to use? Are you talking like dish soap or bar soap?
Oh,
or?
Yeah. Dish soap. Okay. Dawn without phosphorus. So that's a good one, you know. And don't mix it too strong.
Yeah, like at some point it's got to hurt the plant, right?
Yeah, okay. It would. Yeah. So in a quart container, just give it one good squirt. Mix it all up, make it just start the suds a little bit, then water it in, and that sudsy water will get on those bugs and eradicate them. You may have to do it more than once, you know, because it's probably not going to cover the whole soil area.
Right.
But it'll start to get rid of them for you.
Great. And there was another question. What do you do with grapevines and blueberry bushes before winter?
Okay. We'll start with the grapevines. Basically, you do nothing before winter. When winter is waning, February, March, the grapevines need a good hard pruning. Otherwise, they can get really out of hand in a hurry. Grapevine can grow several feet in a year. So February, March is when you'll go out there and prune them. And prune them quite a bit, you know, quite heavily. Otherwise, they're going to grow too much foliage shades the grapes so they can't ripen correctly. It also harbors pests. And it also takes away a lot of energy from the fruit growing. So do a heavy pruning in February or March, not before winter.
So that's one of the more labor-intensive.
It is. It is indeed.
Fruits to grow.
Yeah. Now, blueberries, I'm going to put blueberries and lilacs in the same category because I get a lot of questions about lilacs also. The pruning there is to keep them to a level that you can still reach. That'd be the number one way of pruning. The other way is once in a while, every few years, after your blueberry's been several years old, you don't want to do this on a 2 or 3 year old blueberry bush. They'll start to be less fruiting. So you pick out the oldest stem on the plant, that's the blueberry or the lilac, and you cut it off at ground level. That will promote new growth, also called a sucker, that'll come up from the root system out of the ground next to or near that where you pruned, and that will become your new shrub. Both those plants like to do that as sucker, and it's important that you keep them suckering. Don't chop off those suckers that are growing out of the ground, because that's your new plant. So you take that oldest branch coming out of the ground. It's going to take some memory. Usually it's the biggest branch. And you chop it right off at the ground. That will keep your plant renewing itself and being more able to flower and fruit easier. Those old branches, they tend to start to get plugged up in their veins. And they become less and less fruitful, or they just overpower the rest of the shrub and start to grow over the top and start shading what's down below and causing the whole plant to be not quite as healthy as it should be. So pick that oldest one, cut it off at the ground, and let the new ones from the ground come up and become a new plant for you.
All right, we have a phone call coming through.
All right.
814-368-9372, and we'll go to your call. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, down the children's home, there's four red, they're kind of like a reddish color, right around the children's home sign.
Okay.
What are they, Bob?
Boy, yeah, I should know. And I don't know. They're shrubs, right?
Yes, they're one in like each corner of that sign there.
Okay, are they real thick shrubs?
Beg your pardon?
Real thick shrubs, the foliage so plentiful you can't see through it?
Maybe so. Yeah, it's a red flower, kind of reddish flower.
Oh, reddish flower.
Yeah, reddish flower-like.
Oh, okay. Wow.
One plant, you know, on each corner of this sign. It's really pretty.
Okay. Yeah, I go by there a lot too, and I have looked at them. I know they have a tall phlox there growing, but that's not red. That's more of a salmony pink color.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the red flowering one, big flower on it.
Oh, there's a whole bunch of flowers on each one.
Yeah. Gee, I really can't say for sure. I'm going to assume it's probably a knockout rose or, blooming this late, it could be one of the hibiscus that's growing there and flowering.
Doesn't look like a hibiscus
doesn't
to
it?
Me,
okay.
But you know, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to have to look a little closer now, and I'll tell you next week. Geez, I'm shame on me. I've gone by there 100 times and admired
Bob,
them shrubs.
I have plumerias. I got four plants.
Yeah.
And I have three I would like to give around. Well, my wife's saying two. She'd like to keep one. I have three from Thailand and one from Australia.
Oh, boy.
The last Thailand, it's a miniature. I'm going to keep that. The others, you know, I paid money for them and all that, but whoever wants them can have them.
Oh, boy, that's really generous.
Yeah.
They're big.
Get these out of here.
Now, the one from Australia is about 3 feet, 3.5 feet tall.
That's yeah.
That's, with the pot and the whole works.
That's pretty good size for a house plant. But there's a lot of homes that can accept that and offices, too.
Uh huh.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Well, put them outside with a free sign.
Yeah.
They'll be gone within a couple hours.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, have a great one.
Oh, my wife wants me to ask you about the hibiscus. Which one?
How do you winter them?
How do you winter them?
Okay, depending on which height, it's a good question. Depending on which kind of variety you got, there are greenhouse hibiscus that are quite common on the sales market. Those can't winter outside.
No, this is hydrangea. I say hibiscus.
Oh, hydrangea. Oh, okay.
Hydrangea.
Okay. Now
there's one that's a lace leaf, I think you called it, or something.
Oh, lace cap.
Yeah, lace cap. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Really, there's no care for the winter for them.
Really?
They're extremely hardy. Yep. You don't need to, like the old-fashioned colorful hydrangeas, you don't need to cover them up or protect them for the winter. They'll do just fine, especially in our area. They're rated for our zone and even a little colder. So, yeah, you need to do nothing.
Oh, okay. Because that one, that lace cap, it was doing good. And then the deer and the rabbits, whatever, they clean it right down to the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so then this spring, I noticed a little bit of green showing.
Yeah.
So I babied the thing, and it's growing now.
Good, good.
But I got to cover it or something because the deer's going to eat them up.
Yeah, and there's several ways to do that. You know, I like to use that deer netting.
Uh-huh.
That's easy to apply, and it's just enough, and it's not unsightly. It's just enough to keep the deer and the rabbits away.
Uh-huh, okay.
So you might want to check into that.
Yeah, where'd I get that?
Anywhere. You get it at hardware stores, you get it at Graham's Greenhouse.
Worth W. Smith, our sponsor. Okay. And we actually have to take a break and thank them for sponsoring the show. Hey, thanks so much for the call.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
All righty. So, yeah, we'll be back with more questions here on The Gardening Show right here on B107.5 FM.
Visit Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford and see all they have to offer for your outdoor cooking. You'll find a wide variety of mountain pie makers, bread makers, hot dog forks, and other fire pit cooking products. If that's not your style, don't worry, they didn't forget you. They have whatever cooking fuel you need, whether it's charcoal, propane, or one of several flavors of Bear Mountain wood pellets they have in stock. So next time you're looking for something for backyard cooking, remember, if you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company in Bradford.
And welcome back to The Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. And we have a phone call, Bob.
Yeah.
Here we go. Hi, you're on the air.
Completely off. Pardon me?
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about a hydrangea.
Yes.
I got one for a Mother's Day present about 7 or 8 years ago in a pot, planted it. It grew outside. It grows about 2 feet tall. Never bloomed until this year. It had two blossoms.
Yeah.
Every year it dies down to nothing. Just sticks. And I think, well, that's dead. And then in the spring it comes back. So
surprise.
How can I make it bloom? Can I make it get any bigger?
Okay. You probably
had it.
You probably got what we call the florist hydrangea. It has nice big ball of blooms, maybe in pink or blue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the florist hydrangea. They're a little bit touchy for this area. This is really pushing their limit to how well they can survive in the winter. Now, all hydrangeas are going to lose all their leaves in the winter. So they are all just sticks. But they should re-leaf out come spring and then bloom. But the one you have, which another term for mop heads, florist hydrangea, hydrangea macrofolia, they have a rough time here. And what you have to do is maybe transplant it into a protected area where it won't get many winter winds. And don't prune it. Just leave it grow, because the blossoms are going to come on two-year-old wood. The blossom is made on the wood a year before it'll open up for you. So it's got to spend the whole winter. So usually winters damage that bud so it has trouble blooming. Otherwise, it's a good-looking shrub when it leaves out. Flower or not, it's well worth it to me. Nice big leaves, pretty rounded habit. So I wouldn't be too concerned unless you really want to move it to a protected area.
Yeah, it looks good. And like I said, it just never bloomed before.
Yeah.
Because I keep cutting it back, probably. So I'll leave it alone.
Another
quick question. Can I trim a lilac this time of year?
Oh, yeah, you can trim a lilac anytime you want. Yep.
Drastically trim it. It's very old. I have pictures. It's there from the 1920s. It's an old lilac.
Okay, it is very old,
and half of it's dead, and half of it isn't, and some of it is half dead. Trim it, huh?
Yes, and to encourage new growth, you want to trim off those old stems right down to the ground, those big old stems that are really tall and don't flower much. Trim them off right to the ground. That will promote or encourage a plant to send up new suckers that will become the new part of the shrub. Now, don't trim them all off, you know. Leave some of the shrub there. They usually go have a rule of one-third. You trim off one-third of the old stems 1 year, and you do that up to 3 years, and then you leave it go for another 10 or 15 years.
Okay.
Yep. And lilacs like lime, so sometimes it could be a great benefit that if you sprinkle a little bit of lime around the base of the plant.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
All right, thanks so much for calling in the show.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
You're welcome.
All right, take care now. And we'll get to a question that we had last week here.
All right.
From Bob. He said his name's Bob, too. Must be a good guy, right?
We answered this one too. Yeah, but I know this Bob.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The daylilies you already.
Yep. About digging and dividing daylilies. Yep.
Is it a good time of year to do that?
Any time of year.
Perfect.
Is good for the daylily and hosta. Yeah.
One guy just says mole problems.
Oh yeah.
Did you address that one too?
No, I didn't. for a good reason, because it's so tough. Moles. are feeding on grubs and worms in your yard. That's what's attracting them. So that you have to get rid of their food source. One of the best ways to get rid of their food sources for me is a product called Milky Spore. It's not a chemical. It's a living bacterium that attacks the grubs underground and kills them off. And, of course, that takes away a big part of the food source for the moles, so that they'll leave your yard, go to your neighbor's yard. Other than that, you know, it's so difficult to get rid of moles and voles in the yard, you know, without spending a great deal of time, traps and poisons. So I like to just use the Milky Spore, and it's going to take a year or two, but it will eventually get them moving on.
And it's a long-term solution, right?
It's a long-term solution, yes.
You don't have to do it every year?
Yeah.
Pretty much one is good for how many years?
50 years at least.
One treatment good for 50 years.
Yeah.
So there you go. One and done.
Yep, that's it. Milky Spore.
Wonderful. Hey, with that, we are all out of time today.
Wow, that went quick.
I know. A lot of great questions. A lot of good show and tell with the Arborvitae here. And we'll return next week right here. Same time, same channel.
Thank you.
Okay, Bob. You have a great weekend. Thanks so much for coming in. And it's The Gardening Show. And you can check it out on demand if you'd like during the week. It's on WESB.com. Have a great weekend.